الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to EDARS.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. درود شریف علیه. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home. After the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there was a school of thought which holds the opinion that the only person who could have been the Khalifa and the successor to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and that aliyazu billah Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Usman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu had usurped and abused the power of Khilafat. However, this school of thought is a minority. The majority and the bulk of the Ummah does not subscribe to this opinion, and bifazlillahi ta'ala they maintain this line of Khilafat, starting from Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, thereafter Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an, and thereafter Hazrat Uthman, and then thereafter Hazrat Ali, as a line which has been sanctioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not coincidental, it is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is very, very important for the Ummah to understand. We need to make sure that the foundation is strong. If your foundation is strong, inshaAllah, everything thereafter will be strong. We also need to understand one very important mas'ala, which one section of the Ummah very often misquotes, and they say, Al-Iyazu Billah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted to write in his will the name of that person who was to be his successor, and they put blatant allegations and accusations upon Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala, and they say that Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala aliyazu billah did not allow Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to write that will of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For anyone to think like that is very childish indeed. And an incident that occurred, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not well, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we've actually covered this, but what they say is that Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an did not allow Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to continue with that will, and in that will Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted to write the name of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an. Now if this was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can it be possible from the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, any one of them, to be an obstruction to the command of Allah? Can anyone believe that? That it is the hukam of Allah And al-iyazu billah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not write the issue of khilafat. And that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to write the name of one particular sahabi. And so this again is completely baseless. Alhamdulillah. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she heard of this, she vehemently refuted this allegation, and she says that I was with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout his illness, and I am the wife that was very close to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Never ever did Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam express the desire to write the name of any individual from amongst his companions that would succeed him after his demise from this dunya. And so she says this is impossible. And so this idea of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanting to write a wasiya nama or a will, again it is baseless, and there is nothing to substantiate this, and especially for someone to put and to accuse someone like Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, who is so close to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who is considered to be from amongst the Khulafa'ir Rashideen. We also need to understand that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during his period of illness, he came to the masjid two times. During his period of illness, he came to the masjid twice. He attended the masjid two times. And scholars have mentioned when he came to the masjid, he saw the companions. Despite the fact that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not well, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reprimanded some of the companions who objected that Hazrat Usama bin Zaid should not be the Amir of the expedition that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to send to Syria. And some of the companions were saying that Usama is too young for him to take this expedition, and for him to be the Amir of this expedition to Syria, Usama hasn't got the experience and that he is too young. But yet this man was elected by Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite the fact that he was not well, he actually told some of the companions off that what you are doing is wrong, that Usama is very capable of this mission. Now scholars have mentioned in their tariq that if Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could bring forth the issue of who will be the Amir in Syria, in this expedition that goes to Syria, then very clearly if Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to nominate someone as his Khalifa, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have made it clear to the people that were sitting in the masjid that like how Usama is the Amir of this Jaish, I want this man so and so to be the successor after my departure from this dunya. But this never happened. This never ever happened. And some of the scholars have even mentioned, what we need to understand is that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's death or departure and his demise was not something that occurred suddenly. That all of a sudden Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. That was not the case. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away at the age of 63. And in fact, scholars have mentioned that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had ample time to make sure that all the responsibility as a Nabi that was given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been completed. And that is why some of the verses of the Quran even indicate to that. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. That the deen of Islam, subhanallah, as a complete package, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made sure that every ruling and every law of the sharia had been imparted to the ummah, and it was well explained. So there was no difficulty for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they give an example that even in Hajjatul Wida, which was the first and the last Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Hajj, which is Hajjatul Wida, and after Hajj, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived for another 3 months. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. Even in Hajjatul Wida, he gave an indication to some of the companions, the time now is very close. That Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has discharged the duty and his obligation that was given to him, the responsibility of Nabuwat has been fulfilled. And so this was his last Hajj, and he also made this clear to some of the companions. And if Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to nominate Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, or any other Sahabi, it was very simple for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do this during Hajjatul Wida. But on the contrary, we find that when Hajj became farz, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed who as the Amir of Hajj? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. So he was appointed as the Amir of Hajj. And then thereafter, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed his Hajj. But first, it was the Amir of Hajj who was selected by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose name is Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And so we have to be very clear, my respected brothers, and this principal belief, which actually makes a person fall into this category of becoming one from amongst the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'at. We often hear this term by who are you and what are you? We are Sunni. I've said this to Arif Bhai so many times, but Arif Bhai just won't listen to me. That why have you just got Masjid-e-Umar? Why have you just got Masjid-e-Umar? With Masjid-e-Umar we should also have a little board, a little sign, what, where it should say that Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'at. It should even say Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'at. It is so important, my respected brothers. And so anybody who comes to the Masjid, alhamdulillah, they understand who we are. That we have the right understanding of Islam. We are the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'at. And Ahlu Sunnah means the people who follow the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are the people who follow the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Jama'at means with Jama'at. Not the Tabligh Jama'at. Jama'at means the Jama'at of the companions. The Jama'at of the companions. All of the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'at means that we follow the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that we follow and we have the love for all of the companions. That is why it is impossible. You will find many, many people who say that we follow that hadith, we follow that hadith, we follow that hadith. A person really can't follow a hadith. It is not the hadith that you follow, it is the sunnah that you follow, not the hadith. You will never find words coming out from the mouth of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pinpointing the fact that if you turn away from my hadith, you are not from me. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي. What did he say? فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. The one who turns away from my sunnah is not from me. Hadith, you will find many ahadith. Many ahadith you will find, subhanallah. But it is actually the sunnah. And that is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, alaykum bisunnati. Alaykum bisunnati wa sunnati khulafa'ir rashideen. That it is important that you follow my sunnah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say, alaykum bihadithi. He did not say that. Did he say that? Can you show me anywhere in the hadith where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, follow my hadith? But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, alaykum bi sunnati, follow my sunnah, wa sunnati khulafa'i rashideen, and the path of my khulafa'i rashideen. And so who were the khulafa'i rashideen? It is so important to understand. It starts from Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala, and Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala. Now, subhanallah, Another proof of this line of Khilafat, which is divine from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and which is sanctioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we look at the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an, and Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an, subhanallah, such extensive conquests were made during the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an, that these Arabs who were desert dwellers, people of the desert, and this is nothing short of being a miracle, that the people of the desert came out and they overpowered the mighty empire of the East, the Persian Empire, and the mighty empire of the West, the Byzantines, and subhanallah, Islam overpowered everything. These were people who came out from the desert, and there was so much nusrat, divine assistance and help that came in the time of the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an, that the Byzantine Empire and the Persian Empire became the Islamic Khilafat. Now if this selection of Khilafat was wrong, aliyazu billah, do you think so much blessings would come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So much blessings came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Extensive conquests were made. So much land was conquered during the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, during the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, the Byzantine Empire and also the Persian Empire. And when we look at the Khilafat of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, a remarkable individual. When he is past 80, he becomes the Khalifa. When he is past 80, he becomes the Khalifa. During his Khilafat, subhanallah, from China to the Mediterranean. From China to the Mediterranean. In fact, the whole of North Africa was conquered during the time of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. From China, going all the way down to Africa. And all that was part of the Islamic Khilafat. Now imagine how much help and nusra that came during the period of the Khilafat of Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in and Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. You will even find people saying that fine, we understand that the Khilafat should go to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Umar, but after Umar radiallahu ta'ala it should have been Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. This is also a trap to confuse individuals. The line of Khilafat has been sanctioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the proper line. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. We have covered the entire Khilafat of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. And imagine the service that comes from this one individual, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. He is the only man to have united the entire Ummah upon one recitation of the Quran, one universal recitation of the Quran. Because the Egyptians were reading the Quran with a different pronunciation. The Syrians were reading the Quran with a different pronunciation. Arabic, but their dialect was different. And they would make a lot of mistakes. And you also had a lot of people who were converts and reverts to Islam. They could not pronounce the Arabic words. And so it was very difficult. And you also had the people from Iraq whose pronunciation was very different. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an was the only man. What he did is that he had dispatched different masahif and authorized Quran to the different regions of the Islamic Khilafat with a qari. And it was that qari, the duty of that qari, to teach all of the people there how to pronounce and how to recite the Quran, and the recitation was in accordance to how the Ansari companions would read the Quran and how the Muhajir companions were reading the Quran. That is why I say to many of the people here, look, don't read the Quran like a Pakistani or a Hindustani. You'll find a lot of our students, when they read the Quran, they read like a Pakistani or a Hindustani. No offense to anybody. Allahu Akbar. We are all brothers. But read the Quran in the Arabic language. Read the Quran in the Arabic language. And like how the Arabs read the Quran, mashallah. You will find a lot of the people when they speak English, the English is so good that you can't even tell that who this person is. Ye aadmi koi gora insaan baat kar raha hai ya kaun bol raha hai? You don't even know that. That's how he speaks English. So why not in the Arabic language? And so Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an made it farz, an obligation, that you could only recite the Quran in one dialect. That was the dialect and the pronunciation, exactly like how the companions would read the Quran. The Muhajir were reading the Quran and the Ansar were reading the Quran, because the Ansar and the Muhajirin were the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that is why he was the third Khalifa of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And also as far as the extension of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is concerned, he is the only Sahabi to make a grandstand extension of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. During the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the masjid was simple. The bricks were unbaked, very simple. The roof was made out of trunks of date trees. Very, very simple, a small masjid. You'll find a lot of people have this sketch and drawing of how Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is also wrong. One should not look at that picture, it is wrong. What will happen is that every time you will picture Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the companions and how the masjid was, automatically what the shaitan does is the shaitan puts that picture in front of you, that possibly the masjid was looking like that during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You can't really picture how Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam's masjid was at that time. Very different, a very simple masjid. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq did not carry out any extension. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an carried out a slight extension, but again the bricks were unbaked, a simple extension. But Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an came with this beautiful masjid, a massive extension. And ulama have mentioned that the roof of Masjid Nabawi was made out of Indian teak. The roof of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was made out of Indian teak, and that Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an made the extension from stones that were carved out properly, and the cement was lime and clay to join the stones together. So it was a beautiful extension. And this service also comes from Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. So this pattern that you see and the works that Allah has taken, it is sanctioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what exactly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, that it is a solid foundation. And that is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam never ever nominated anyone to be his successor. He left it open to the people. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam knew that this ummah is the best ummah, and this ummah has been given all the protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is the protector of the Quran, and Allah is the protector of the masajid and the madaris and the ahadith. And so when Allah is the protector of the Quran, surely Allah will protect all the individuals and the successors who will come after Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it will not be the wrong selection. It will never be the wrong selection, and it is the most perfect selection. For Hazrat Abu Bakr to come, Hazrat Umar to come, Hazrat Uthman to come, and for Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an to come. Allahu Akbar. Now my respected brothers, of course what happened with Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, a tragedy, and we won't go into that because we've already covered that, the Khilafat of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. But you had the Egyptians that came, and you had people from Basra. These were the rebels. And then you had the rebels that came from Kufa, and they marched into Madinatul Munawwara. And all of the companions at that time were in Madinatul Munawwara with Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. And when they came, one could not even imagine what the intention was. Allahu Akbar, they came with the intention to remove Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. They not only disrespected Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and his position, but they even assassinated him and murdered him, and which we have covered in many sessions of our durus sessions. And that day was the most difficult day for the people of Madinatul Munawwara. Ulama have mentioned that everyone in Madinatul Munawwara was crying. Everyone in Madinatul Munawwara was crying. Everyone was traumatized, mortified. What has happened? They could not believe their eyes that, subhanallah, people could march from Egypt, Basra and Kufa, and they would come to Madinatul Munawwara, and they would want to murder the son-in-law of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And these were rebels. These were rebels that they had come just to remove. And we've covered that. It was very, very difficult for Sahaba-e Kiram ajma'in. Everything in Madinatul Munawwara came to a standstill. So we've covered the contributions of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And briefly also the contributions during the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and during the time of Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an had a big family, and he was more devoted to the ibadat and the worship. And so there's not a lot of things that are mentioned, but again, he was very, very close to Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an. But after his shahadat, the rebels were there. They themselves did not know what to do, what action to take. Once Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an was martyred, Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an would say to the people of Medina and to the rebels that today you hate me, but when I depart from this dunya, you will pray for me. Today you hate me, but a day will come that you will pray for me, and you will not find me. And exactly what Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an had said, that condition was visible in Madinatul Munawwara. Their hearts were bleeding. And even the rebels did not know what to do. They could not even select from amongst themselves one person to lead the ummah and to put someone there in power of authority, that he is the man who will take charge. And we see when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, immediately the initiative was taken by Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. And he said that whoever is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ وَلَا يَمُوتُ. And he said everything, and all of the companions came close to him and they understood. And they said that, of course, it can only be Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an to blow into us this soul and ruh again, to revive us. This was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. But everything was dark, standstill during the time of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. People were of a different opinion, especially the rebels. Some of them said the Khalifa should be Hazrat Talha, a minority. Some of them said that no, the Khalifa should be Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala. The Egyptians were saying that it should be Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And of course, all the companions in Madinatul Munawwara had agreed that the only person who could take the responsibility of Khilafat should be Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. But at that moment, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala declined and rejected the proposal that came from the rebels. And he said, I am not going to be the Khalifa. Not after what you have done to Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. I am not prepared to become the Khalifa. And so Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said to the rebels that I will do bay'ah to anyone who becomes the Khalifa from amongst the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but I will not take charge, I will not lead the ummah. Because it was extremely painful for Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala to see what had happened in Madinatul Munawwara. And so things were very, very difficult. Now to break this deadlock in Madinatul Munawwara, what had happened is that the senior companions then came to visit Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an at his residence, and they said to him that this vacancy of Khilafat can prove to be inflammable. It will be a great fitna if you don't take the position. And so Hazrat Talha and all of the companions, the senior companions that were there, and they said, we plead to you, to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, that you have to be the Khalifa and you have to take this leading role for the sake of the Ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Only after the companions had come to the residence of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an accepted this position of Khilafat, and he stood up, and it was Yawmul Jumu'ah. And subhanallah, when we read the seerah of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, he was very simple in his dressing. And so he had put on this woolen turban, and a simple chadar, a simple cladding that he had on. And on one side he was holding his slippers, and he had his bow that he was leaning on. And then he entered the masjid and he sat on the pulpits. And when he sat on the pulpit, everyone was happy, and they said that the right man is sitting on the pulpit. And all of the companions, the senior companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, came first after the shahadat of Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an, and they did bay'ah on the hands of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. And then thereafter the Egyptians and the people from Basra and the people of Kufa and everybody that came, they did bay'ah at the hands of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, in his khutbah, in his first khutbah, criticized the rebels of their action. And he said to the people that were there, it seems that the blood of a believer has become very cheap. That the blood of the believers has become very, very cheap. That a person and a group of people from outside of Madinatul Munawwara can march into Madinatul Munawwara, and they can murder Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an, whilst he is so close to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His residence, the house of Hazrat Usman, was very, very close to Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so he actually criticized the rebels that were there. And he said, I will only become a Khalifa if the Muslims learn to respect the Amir and their leader, and if they honor the blood of their fellow Muslim brothers, only then I will become the leader. And so he gave, of course, his khutbah, and it was the most difficult moment. In fact, Muslim historians have mentioned something here, that the most difficult khilafat, was the khilafat of Hazrat Ali. On one side, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an was murdered. He was assassinated. By who? These were people who claimed to be Muslims themselves, were rebels. And they would pray in Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It was not someone from outside, non-Muslims who came. It was all internal. And on one side, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was pressurized. He had to take this position. And he took control, but at the same time, you had the rebels that were there who were trying to enforce a lot of pressure upon Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an also. So it was a very, very difficult moment. And then from amongst the companions, what had happened is that when he became a Khalifa, the most difficult ruling and mas'ala perhaps ever in the annals of Islamic history, the judgment that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an had to give, that the family members of Hazrat Uthman, and remember that his tribe was a big tribe, a lot of them were Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'in, and you had Hazrat Talha, Hazrat Zubair, even from amongst Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'in, and from amongst Azwaj-e Mutahharat, you had like Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now she was a lady in the front, leading the people from the front, and she confronted Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, that you are the Khalifa, we accept you as the Khalifa, alhamdulillah, that is not an issue. But immediately we want retribution and qisas, and we need to avenge the martyrdom and the shahadats and the perpetrators who had assassinated Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, we need to make sure that all of the people who were involved in the murder of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, they should be killed first as qisas. And that is the law of the Quran. And so that has to be implemented. And so immediately you had a lot of Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'in who were saying that we should not allow anyone to return back after what they have done with Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, and of course that difficulty which was there for Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. Now there is a lot of masail that we need to sort of understand, and the difficulty that was there for Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. Inshallah, if Allah wills, we will continue with this subject in the next session. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين